Anyways, last week I was talking about the Spirit, and the verse that I used was, "He that believeth on me, as the Scriptures have said, out of his belly shall rivers of water flow." Hallelujah. And I'm going to talk this scripture I'm going to use is coming from John 4:13-14. It says, and I'm going to read it out of the New Living. It said, "Jesus replied, anyone who drinks this water will soon become thirsty again. But those who drink the water I give them will never be thirsty again. Amen. It becomes a fresh, bubbling spring within them, giving them eternal life." Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. "As our bodies hunger and thirst, so do our souls."
Yes.
"But our souls need spiritual food and water."
Amen.
"And everything in this world eventually runs out. But there is a fountain that never runs dry."
Thank you, Lord.
Jesus was filled and overflowing with the Spirit of God. For he is sent by God. He speaks God's word. For God's Spirit is upon him without measure or limit. Hallelujah. And that same limitless Spirit fills and overflows you with his power and with his presence. But sometimes we become dry and we get thirsty in our lives because we somehow get cut off from the river of God. The spring of his Spirit perpetually flows from the throne of God into our hearts. The flow of the Holy Spirit into our lives is increased or decreased by turning on certain Holy Spirit faucets to their maximum level. It is up to you, now get this, it is up to you to control the volume of the power and the blessing of His Spirit that springs from your heart into every aspect of your life.
Yes.
Have you ever been around somebody and you just know that something's missing? There's something going on in their life. They're not the same bubbly person that they were maybe 3 weeks ago. This week it's a depression, and there's emotional feelings and all kinds of things that are going on, and they've changed a little. They get dry and they get thirsty. There are some of the faucets that will increase the flow of his perpetual spring within you. Bible studies, one of them. Prayer's another one. Praise, worship, serving, giving, witnessing. Is it a shut off or is it a steady flow, or are you overflowing? When ye fully release Jesus to live in and through us, the Spirit will flow freely from us into the lives of those that we love and serve.
That's right.
Ask yourself, are you allowing the perpetual spring of God's Spirit to flow freely in your life? What will increase your flow? What worldly things are making you thirsty that you need to abandon? We need to talk to the Lord and tell him what we'll do to increase that flow of his Spirit within us. We all want to have that flow. The perpetual stream of the Spirit within you gushes from the very throne room of God, where Jesus sits on the right hand of God making intercession for you. Fed by the river of God, you are a tree that bears fruit through the power of God's Spirit.
Amen.
In Psalms 1, it says, "You shall be like a tree planted by the rivers of water that bring forth its fruit." In Psalms 52:8, it says, "The green olives, these are the fruit that you bear because you are watered by the river of God's Holy Spirit." Psalms 92:12 says, "The righteous shall flourish like a palm tree." And Psalms 128:3 says, "A fruitful vine." Proverbs 3:18 says, "Like a tree of life." And Jeremiah 17:7-8 says, "Like a tree, it's a leaf that will be green." And Romans 11, it says, "For if the first fruit is holy, the lump is also holy. And if the root is holy, so are the branches." Oh,
yes.
I thought that was a powerful scripture.
Amen.
The river of God's Holy Spirit brings his fullness of life into our daily existence. Without his river, we merely exist. But in the river, hallelujah, we live and we flourish abundantly. The river of God's Holy Spirit brings fullness of life into our daily existence. Without his river, we merely exist. But in the river, we live and we flourish abundantly. Rooted in the river of God's Spirit, we flourish like a tree, bearing good fruit and enjoying life. Ask yourself, what good fruit is being produced in your life by the Holy Spirit? Remember, he that believeth on me, as the scriptures have said, out of his belly shall flow rivers of living water.
Hallelujah.
Out of his belly shall flow rivers of living water. And I think we all want that this morning. Father God, we thank you and we praise your name. We thank you, Father God, for your presence, Lord. We thank you, Father God, for what you're going to do and how you're going to move and how you're going to talk to your people this morning. God, we pray, oh God, that for the obedience of your people, Lord, and we'll forever, Lord, give you all the praise.
So that you can minister through us, Lord.
Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus.
Hallelujah. Verse 4 through 6. Paul writing to the Galatians, chapter 4, verse 4, 5, and 6. Gets right down to the point of today's message. But when the fullness of time had come, God sent forth his Son, born of a woman, born under the law, to redeem those who were under the law, that we might receive the adoption as sons, and of course as daughters. And because you are sons, God has sent forth the Spirit of his Son into your hearts, crying out, Abba, Father, Daddy, Daddy. But when the fullness of time had come, today I'm going to minister in a few moments in the fullness of time. Now is the time. We haven't missed the answers to our prayers. We have not missed the directions and the guidance of the Holy Spirit. We haven't missed what God wants to do in your life. Because now is the time. In the fullness of time. Key word there is in. We're in the time frame what we need to be in. We're in the miracle working era of the power of God. No matter what you're facing, no matter what you're going through, no matter what storm, what trial, what temptation, the Lord is here to say and to tell you, now, right now, it's our turn. We need to step up. You need to step up. But when the fullness of time had come, there was a perfect setting at the birth of Christ. And you know, today, March 9th, 2025, this is the right time for you. It is. Believe it. Expect it. God will do it. I don't know about you, but I want to claim it. And I'm not a claim it, grab it, blab it preacher. But when it's mine, I'm going to take it. Amen. This last song needs to be a prayer. Draw me close. Is that your desire? Because the answer to your prayer is not out there somewhere. It's right here in this setting right now. We can't get away from asking God and believing, but expecting those answers, no matter what it is, in the name of Jesus. So as we sing this together, sing it and believe it, expect it, and don't let your miracle pass by. Amen. Go ahead. As they step down, this morning I want to warn you. Just because I wrote a long word from a pastor does not mean I'm going to be short today. This is how much I believe in this message. God's got the exact time, plan, and purpose for each one of us. And I know in living and ministering, as we have done the last 40 plus years, I won't say I've seen it all, because you never know. But I've seen a lot. I've seen a lot of people go through things. Loss of a loved one. Loss of a child. Loss of a marriage. Loss of jobs. In that aspect, we know that yes, God is able, but I want to say today, in the fullness of time, you need to be praying. You need to be believing. You need to be expecting. You need to be getting excited about what God is about ready to do for us, for each one of us, every one of us. Doesn't matter where your relationship is with God, because you can instantly take care of that. But in the fullness of time, in the fullness of time, you got to concentrate on that little word in and believe, because no matter what's going on around about us, those little shiny objects over here or over here, or what's been done to us in the past by people, by the lying tongues, God is able to do it. Look at our wall over there. I'm beginning to look around and try and figure out where we're going to go next. I like that, because that becomes an encourager for every one of us. Whether you're going through it or not, in the midst of the storm, that's where you need to be. The Bible is full of places. I'm sure Paul didn't like being shipwrecked 3 times. I'm sure Daniel didn't like going into the lion's den. I'm sure the three boys weren't too excited about jumping into the fire, being pushed into the fire, whatever. I'm sure the Israelites didn't understand and know why they had to go through the wilderness. But it still says, when the fullness of time had come, God sent His Son. And that was 2,000 plus years ago. So you better be getting ready. You better be helping your family out too. We started an evangelism course for the adults on Wednesday night. Come and be with us. There's two more weeks. But we're living in the last days. Read the book of Matthew. I know it says there's going to be wars and rumors of wars. We're in the midst of it. God's getting ready to toot the horn, not Donald Trump. He's going to blow the trumpet of God. The dead in Christ shall rise first. Then we which remain and are alive shall be caught up together in the air. What a spectacle that's going to become. They're going to come up with all kinds of reasons why we're out of here. Why we've just left our clothes. But understand this. In the fullness of time, most of us talk about the birth of Christ. That was the exact time that He needed to come. But we're fastly approaching the time when He's going to sound the trump. Amen? It's all about God's timing of sending His Son, Jesus Christ, here on this earth. And yes, especially at the time of year, as we are looking back and looking forward to in April 22nd, I believe it is, we're going to have Resurrection Morning. We're going to celebrate the empty grave. Come on. We're going to celebrate the empty grave. You start working on your family, your friends, your enemies, because they need Jesus too. Amen? They need Christ in their life. I want to share this morning a little different aspect of the fullness of time. I know Christmas time brings back memories when we were a kid. Some not so good, some really good, and some, eh. But it's always a good time to reflect back. Why? Because when we reflect back, that jogs our memory. How many times have I tried to instruct you when I pray with you? Right there where you stood, God did something for you. How many times do you need to go back to it? Just one more. But that means also, if tomorrow it's not come yet, you go back to that spot and say, God, You remember, because I remember, and I'm getting ready. I'm getting ready. For God, You are able. In the latter part of verse 4 of our scripture, God sent forth His Son, born of a woman, born under the law, in verse 5, the first part of it, to redeem those who were under the law. Perfect timing for God sending His Son. Perfect timing for day. Today is your day. This is the hour that we need to be in. I'm glad I was born in this generation. I've seen a lot. I've done a lot. But understand this. I'm still a child of God. No matter what takes place, no matter what happens, the foundation this morning has been laid. I'm not building my house on a bed of sand, because sand isn't a good foundation. But I build my life upon the rock of Jesus Christ. He is my cornerstone. He is my Savior, but He's also my soon coming King. Where we can cry, Abba, Father, thank God. What about God's plan? God's plan was enacted and finished when Jesus Christ died upon the cross. He did what He was supposed to do. And guess what? That was especially for you. You. Whoever you are listening, watching, or in this sanctuary today. God is more than able. He reconciled a generation after generation to your children, to their children, and their children. The list goes on and on and on. Greater is He that is within me than he that is in the world. Thank God I've been changed. Thank God you've been changed. And God is still working on us. Every one of us. God's plan was the intervention for mankind. They needed a Savior. I'm so thankful we don't have to do the Old Testament sacrifices. Once for all, Jesus Christ redeemed us, adopted us into the family of God. He calls me friend, but the Word of God says that you're a joint heir with Jesus Christ. Think about that, because you've been adopted into the family of God, you have become a joint heir with Jesus Christ. Jesus was never left alone. He might have thought of it in the Garden of Gethsemane, but yet He said, nevertheless, not my will be done, but your will be done. Amen? Another verse of Scripture talks about our afflictions. What about our afflictions? Bible calls it easy. Light. But yet He still cares for His children. The great thing about adoption is that in the family of God, it brings us out of slavery into sonship. Slavery to sonship. Chains are broken. Prison doors are swung wide open. Why? Because when you're God's children, we're special in His sight. He loves us. He cares for us. He'll do the same for you. He'll do the same for me that He did for His Son, Jesus Christ. The only thing that you won't have to do is to pay the price of death. Because that's already been done. Paid for, furnished, and finished by the blood of the Lamb. God provides sonship through Jesus Christ and assures us of it through the Holy Ghost. We're sealed. He selected us, but He also sealed us. And now He's sending us. Amen? Sending us where? Wherever we go, whatever our car, our vehicle takes us, or whether we walk. God says, I've got you. I've got you. The last two words of our scripture today, it says, Abba, Father, meaning Daddy, Daddy, because that's an intimate Aramaic term that was used for Father. The benefits of being adopted children of God are many, countless. Becoming a child of God is the highest privilege and honor that we can imagine. And simply because of this adoption into the family of God, we have a new relationship with God and a new standing before Him. He no longer remembers what we did in the past. He's forgot it, put it in the sea of forgetfulness, as the Word says. A new standing before Him. He deals differently with His children than the rest of the world. He has become the source of our hope, our strength, our peace, our comfort. He doesn't have to do another thing for us because Jesus is exactly enough for us today. In the fullness of time, we're walking in that timing that God has for us. We should be amazed that a holy and righteous God loved me enough, loved you enough, to send His Son. The infallible Word. Many people have set out to try to find something wrong. But most of them have given their lives back to God and said everything in there is true. He's a holy and righteous God who created all things, and now He sustains us. He holds us in the palm of His hand. He'll put His loving arms around us and say, that's okay, I got this. Go ahead, shed the tears, and I'll turn them into happy tears, joyful tears, glad tears. He's really the only all-powerful, all-knowing, ever-present God who will allow sinful humans to simply call Him Daddy, Daddy, Abba, Father. Adopted child got the same rights as a child born into the family. Even back in the day when Romans were ruling the area, the country of Israel and surrounding areas, when a Roman citizen adopted a kid, didn't matter the background, they became citizens of Rome. Think about what God did for you, adopting you into the family of God. I can't get away from it. We've been made joint heirs with Jesus Christ. What's His is yours. but it also works the other. What's yours should be His. All of it. Not certain portions. Would you stand with me? In the fullness of time, right while you're going through whatever you're going through, the answer, the miracle, is coming from the problem solver. I'm glad things in our country are looking up. But we still need to look up, for our redemption draws near. In the fullness of time, whatever you're going through today, if you don't have a relationship with Christ, leave here without one. Because that's simple. Regular, ordinary, everyday, common, average. It just takes childlike faith. That is what gets us saved and ready, engrafted in, reconciled back to God. But if you're saved and still going through some situations, it's that same faith that gets you the answer. No matter how many times I say it, our scripture, Matthew 7, 7 and 8, ask, seek, knock, what's going to happen? Ask, you receive. What's it say up there? Ask and it will be given to you. Seek and you will find. Knock and it will be opened to you. For anyone who asks receives, and he who seeks finds, and to him who knocks, it will be open. No matter what it is. Childlike faith in the fullness of time. I've heard so many people lately say, it was just in the nick of time. I didn't know how much more I could go through. God had it all the time. He wasn't worried. He's not concerned. Would you bow your heads with me? With whatever you're facing, struggles. Maybe it's something at work. That you need an answer to. Something that you want in your personal life. Another scripture that says, you have not, because you ask not. What opportunities? I'm going to ask Him, and I'm going to continue to believe, but I'm also going to not stop asking Him. We need to become the children of God that we need to be. Think about it. I know our grandson doesn't hesitate to ask. Doesn't matter how big it is or how expensive it is. But he knows grandma's got some stash. What kind of stash does God have? Think about that. What kind of stash does God have? His stash is wow. And here you are worried, fretting. And don't try to change the words, because it still means the same thing. The opposite of faith is fear. But look at the opposite of fear, faith. And guess what? You got enough. So today I want to just open up whatever it is that you're facing. God is always the answer. You know, the kids' classes and the teenagers are good for this. Teacher will ask a question. The first one is Jesus. Second one is Holy Ghost. Third one is God the Father. What's your answer? Do you need a miracle? Because God still hasn't quit miracles. And he never will. The word says he's just as close as the mention of his name. So I want to open up today. First and foremost, if you don't know Jesus Christ as a personal Savior, with the evidence or giving the cleansing, the refreshing that you need, because yes, Jesus is the only way, the way, the truth, and the life. No one comes to the Father except by me, by Jesus. You have to ask Jesus into your heart. Ask Jesus to forgive you. And believe it. And then simply tell him. Confess it to him and others. That's how simple it is. So, first is salvation. And you say, I'm too embarrassed to come up. Why? That's how we got there. That's how we got to where we are at. Would you bow your heads again? I'm sorry. But if that's you that the Holy Ghost is speaking to, drawing, you might feel funny in your stomach. You might feel anxiousness. But that's good Holy Spirit drawing. That means God wants to do something for you. Would you step out and allow us the great privilege to pray a sinner's prayer with you? Come on, would you step out? Doesn't matter how old you are. What matters is your name written in the Lamb's Book of Life. Doesn't matter what your background is, where you're from, what your house looks like that you live in. That don't matter to God and don't matter to us. Would you come? Let us pray with you. In the fullness of time, procrastination in the name of Jesus. Come on. Is there any others? Come on, is there any others that will join her? One thing that I know for sure and promise you is God will never embarrass you, and neither will I. In the name of Jesus. If you need a miracle, if you need an answer, if you need a door open, you need a door shut, you need lying tongues and mouths to be stopped, shut up, come on.